That sounded good. Maybe I'll do it again. Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 3/17 on February 9th. With us, we've got Representative Miller, Representative Holmes, Representative Thompson, Representative Sadler, Representative Holmes. I name you twice.
Sure, I can be your choice.
And myself, Chair Olson. We've got a full calendar today. We're going to be stopping at 5 p.m. Several of us have a meeting that starts at 5, so we'll be wrapping it up by 5. For those of you online, I don't believe we're going to be moving the second bill or having a vote on the second bill for at least a week or so. I'd really appreciate it if everybody turned off their BlackBerries or cell phones. The two bills that we have are both from Representative Hawker, who happened to have joined us a couple minutes ago. First bill is House Bill 126, and that's the Omnibus Board Extension. Welcome, Mr. Hawker. I believe it's the first time you've been before us this year.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a pleasure to be before you for the first time this year. And for your record-keeping purposes, I am Representative Mike Hawker, representing District 32 out of Anchorage. Pleasure to be with you, sir. I've got that nod from the chairman, which I think means commence.
It's all yours.
And, Mr. Chairman, also, I don't want to offend the committee, but I've got another commitment myself at 4:30, so the discussion on the second bill continues. I will be out of the room, but is planning to extend that hearing over more than one session of your committee. Of course, we'll all be available to be back.
And I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Johnson.
Is that a Freudian slip?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, sir.
Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, sir. I'm here today presenting two bills that originated with the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, and as the chair of that committee, I am bringing those bills before your committee. The first bill is a housekeeping matter, the type of thing we see frequently here in the legislature, in that we have established sunset dates on many of our state agencies and programs so that they are brought back before us on a periodic basis to reconsider their continuing merit, whether they're accomplishing their desired tasks, and again, allowing us to determine if we believe it is appropriate to continue the existence of those boards and commissions. And Mr. Chairman, those folks who've been in the legislature previously know that we have historically seen individual bills for each one of those individual agencies that has been sunset. So here in your Labor and Commerce Committee, Mr. Chairman, is always, if we've got six sunsets in a year, you go through the process of complete hearings on six separate bills. Given
I might interject that as somebody that carried most of those in the past, I'm extremely pleased that you can come up with a vehicle that we can do them on one bill now and in the future.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as you know, as a supplicant at your committee, it is my absolute desire to please the chairman.
Gosh, he's good.
Wow.
So what we have this year, and particularly for the members in the body that have been here for years prior, all those agencies that have sunsets that would have previously been brought to you in separate bills, we have aggregated them into an omnibus bill, one bill. And I'd like to point out that we all have issues with agencies, and sometimes we also want to make policy changes with those agencies. And certainly, when you put an agency's name or an activity into the title of a bill, it opens it up for making policy calls. Historically, in this legislature, we have separated these reauthorization bills and from policy changes because, again, in the case of the bills the agencies were bringing before us today, I will suggest to you that we want to extend their existence, and we also may want to make changes, but we know for a fact we're going to extend the existence, and we don't want to clutter the bill with policy changes related to those, which is why we've gone to the omnibus format here. So, Mr. Chairman, the bill before you extends the following boards as recommended by the state's legislative auditor. And again, for you new members, the legislative auditor works for the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. When an agency or an activity, a board or commission is up for or is in approaching its sunset date, they perform the review, the administrative management review of that agency, how it's operating, provide a detailed report back to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee and through the committee to the entire legislature. The recommendations in this bill reflect those recommendations made by the state's legislative auditor, the aide led by Ms. Pat Davidson, who is here to address any questions you might have regarding those audits. The agencies requesting that we're requesting extension in this bill are the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers for a four-year, that's an eight-year extension to June 30, 2019. The Board of Dental Examiners, also to June 30, 2019. The Board of Nursing, also to June 30, 2019. The Alcohol Beverage Control Board, also to June 30, but 2015 on that one. And the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to June 30, 2019. Two observations. The ABC board has been the subject of brought before the legislature for reauthorization a year ago. There were operational and management problems with that board. We approved a one-year extension during which they made administrative management course corrections. The legislative auditor has been back into that board and cleared the to-do list that they left from their initial audit, and this bill now recommends a four-year extension of the ABC board consistent with the recommendation made by the legislative auditor, as that's one of those boards we tend to look at more frequently than some of the other boards. So, Mr. Chairman, again, that's all this bill does is it reauthorizes government agencies that are facing sunset that have passed muster through the legislative auditor, and be very happy to open up or make myself available for questions, sir, as I would offer the legislative auditor if there are any questions on the attached legislative audits.
Representative Holtz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Hawker. I kind of like this format, too. It's kind of nice to have a bunch of them all in one. I do have one question, and that is on the ABC board extension, and it may be just a confusion. I may be looking at the audit from last year, but the audit that I have in front of me recommends an extension until 2014, and the bill says 2015. Is there a reason for the discrepancy? Is it a year old audit, or where does the 2015 number come from? Because the numbers I'm seeing are 2014.
Representative Holm, through the chair, you have exactly identified the anomaly with the ABC board audit. The original ABC board audit, even though it identified a number of problems with the agency, recommended a four-year extension, a time-certain extension. We gave them 1 year last year. We tasked them with correcting their deficiencies, we let the legislative auditor go back in. The legislative auditor came back in, but not with a full re-audit, but a report on addressing those deficiencies. And so the question that was brought to me as the chairman of LBNA to bring these bills forward is, do we extend it 4 years from a year ago, or do we extend it 4 years from this point? And it was my personal judgment call that the 4 years from this point was the appropriate extension time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sadler, I see a lot of notes there.
No.
Any questions?
Nothing.
Any further questions for Representative Hoffer? Well, thank you, Representative. I think we'll bring Pat Davidson up for questions or comments or both. Welcome back, Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit, and I am available if anybody has any questions about our audits.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it may just be the way my packet is laid out, but I had been flipping through the audit from the 09 audit, or the audit I was just discussing with Representative Hawker, and there were a number of concerns raised, and I'm just wondering if you could give us a brief overview as to what's changed in the last year.
Through the chair, Representative Holmes, we made two recommendations to the ABC board during the FY09 audit, the last full sunset review. Those two recommendations, one had to do with their enforcement policies. Mm-hmm. What we were looking for them to do is to develop quantifiable and objective enforcement goals and to communicate those goals to staff so that they would be carried out. The second one was a bit of a laundry list of administrative operation type recommendations. When we went in there this past summer, what we found was that the administrative operations were substantially addressed. As it related to the enforcement issues, we saw that there was progress made, but we wouldn't call it substantially resolved. And so there still is a mix of issues in terms of establishing those quantifiable and, well, we want them to establish objective, quantifiable enforcement goals so that at the end of the period, the public, the legislature, or whomever can look back at the operations of the enforcement portion of the ABC board to evaluate whether they have met those goals or not.
Thank you.
No follow-up? Any further questions for Ms. Davidson? Thank you again. That was painless.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For the new members of the committee, Ms. Davidson will be in the room probably at two-thirds of our meetings. She'll have an interest.
Yeah.
Reputation proceeds.
She'll be a familiar face by the end of the session. So with that, I think we'll go out into the room. Anybody in the room have any wish to make a comment on the omnibus bill? Seeing none.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We have Bob Pickett on the line from the RCA for questions. If anybody has any questions, we've got John Novak from the AG's office on the line for questions. No questions. And do we have anybody on the line that I haven't asked that would care to comment on this bill? This is too easy. Seeing that, we're going to close out the public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion.
Can I just make a comment?
Sure.
Wow. Did we just go through public comment on RCA, ABC, hairdryer? Wait, how many with no comment on any of them? Ah, okay.
So, you want to comment on that?
I'm just the fact that I'm amazed.
I've got a question for the sponsor. I just wanted to confirm that it is your intent to keep this bill clean.
Mr. Chairman, and I believe that answer actually does go exactly to the comment raised by Representative Holmes. Yes, it is my absolute intention to move this bill through the entire legislative process intact and not allow, and mind you, it's the committee that makes these decisions, not me, but it is my absolute commitment to you to do my very best not to allow any policy call changes or any changes made to this bill. Those issues we do find controversial, or issues of whether it be at the RCA or whether it be at the ABC board, we address those in separate legislation and not in this bill.
I'm glad there's at least two people in the building that agree with me. I've tried to do that over the last few years, but it's certainly easier to do it in one bill, similar to the way we handle boards and commissions as a slate. Any further questions for Representative Hawker? What are the wishes of the committee? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move House Bill number 126 with no amendments out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no opposition, the bill will move on to the next committee, and we'll take a brief at ease to set up for the next bill, House Bill 125, who... That bill, I don't think, is going to be as quick as this one. But next item on the agenda is also a Representative Hawker bill, House Bill 125. Where do you want to start?
Nope. Mr. Chairman, I'll start by introducing myself. Again, for the record, I am Representative Mike Hawker, House District 32. I am the chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for this legislative session. and the bill being brought to you today, House Bill number 125, came out of the work of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee of the past legislature. But in that we are now commencing a new legislature, I've taken over responsibility for the committee and I'm bringing forward the bill. This is a simple little bill. It is, I'm certain we can move it through here probably even quicker than the last bill. I can only wish. But sincerely, the bill that I'm bringing before you here is a bill that is a policy bill related to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. For the bill we just moved from your committee, or you folks moved from your committee, made the statement that we wish to extend the existence of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board for another 4 years, and we know we're going to continue the existence of the board. There are, however, issues that arose during the legislative audit process of this agency that we ended up over that one, when we had that 1 year extension and were reconsidering concerns and questions regarding the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee established a subcommittee to review one of the more contentious issues with or involving the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and that is, where is that board domiciled within state government? When I joined the legislature, when I was elected to the legislature back in 2002, the ABC board was domiciled in the Department of Revenue. Folks had viewed it through that time as primarily a revenue collecting function. I mean, alcohol taxes are one of the more significant revenue sources of the state of Alaska out once you get past the dominant revenue source of oil and gas. In 2003, at the request of the executive, the board was, its domicile was moved from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Public Safety, where over time it has become viewed as essentially an extension of our law enforcement activities of the state, our criminal law enforcement activities. The question that was brought to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee that was addressed in a summer's worth of subcommittee hearings was, is the Department of Public Safety the correct domicile for the Alcohol Beverage Control Board? What is the Alcohol Beverage Control Board's mission? Is it a law enforcement agency? Is it a, again, a extension of our Department of Public Safety's efforts to address crime in our state? Or is it something else? And in this case, the something else was, is it part of our regulation of business and commerce first? And should it be domiciled in the Department of Commerce rather than the Department of Public Safety? Agencies take on the character of their domicile. Again, when the ABC board was in revenue, its focus was largely upon revenue, collecting the revenue, making sure alcohol taxes were paid. It was believed at that time that perhaps its law enforcement activities were less emphasized. So it was moved over to the Department of Public Safety, where it has become effectively an agency within the department, and by some people's belief, it has become really an investigation and prosecutorial activity of the state of Alaska. It has lost sight of its responsibilities and primary mission as a regulator of a legal and legitimate industry in the state of Alaska. Well, we spent the summer taking testimony in the subcommittee at the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee and reached a concurrence amongst all the members of that subcommittee. And that reported, it's a one-page letter report that's included in your packet that for all of the sort of whereas provisions complied there, we come down to our conclusion at the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee that while we recognize the importance of the ABC Board and its law enforcement activities, and we absolutely believe that it needs to maintain its liaison with the law enforcement community in administering the more criminal aspects and the pursuit, the cops, courts, and cages aspect of dealing with folks who mismanage the business of alcohol in the state, that in that this industry is largely a legit, it is a legitimate industry, it's a sanctioned industry in the state, that the ABC board should first and foremost be part of the Commerce Department of Commerce community economic development, along with all other commerce regulating boards, and that the agency would be, the industry would be best served there. And that was the recommendation of the subcommittee of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I presented that report to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, and we had no objections to bringing it forward as a legislative proposal for you to consider. Mr. Chairman, absolutely will be the first to suggest that this may be one of, if not the most controversial bill that your committee hears this year. There are two very different schools of thought on this subject in the state of Alaska. One school of thought, and I know it's heavily represented by the folks in this room, these people deal with the ill effects of alcohol in our communities. I think they have a very strong belief that the Alcohol Beverage Control Board should be a criminal prosecuting, that the criminal prosecution end of their business is their first and primary obligation. I presume that as you conduct your hearings, you will hear also from the hospitality industry, those purveyors of alcohol in the state of Alaska, who are concerned that all purveyors of alcohol are being cast as bad guys, and that as the Alcohol Beverage Control Board is currently being managed and operated, there is a presumption of guilt. It is that this industry itself is inherently evil, and that every purveyor of alcohol is an inherent criminal. And we've got an industry out there that is legally sanctioned. We've got the whole, what is it, Title IV of the state statutes that are management of a heavily regulated industry in this state, that those good guys, the people that have worked very hard to protect that, make sure that that industry does operate legally, legitimately, and in the best interest of the public, feel that they are not getting, they're not being fairly treated in by an agency who is charged with regulating them, but who doesn't view them as a regulated business community, but views them as inherently a criminal organization. So you're going to hear some, this is going to be a really fun debate, hearing both sides of this discussion. And at the end of the day, Mr. Chairman, it will fall to your committee to make a decision as to move this legislation forward or to not move it forward as a proposal. I'm sure we'll come down to kind of looking at this almost as a conducting a court trial. We're going to hear arguments, we're going to hear rebuttal arguments, and I'm hoping at the end of the day I will get to come before you and argue why I think there's sufficient merit to both arguments, that this bill should be moved to the floor of the House of Representatives for a vote by every member.
I would like to add, for the people that are online and may not have been with us at the beginning of the meeting, or the people that have walked in, it's not my intention to bring this bill up for a vote for at least a week or a week and a half until we have a series of meetings on it, because it is too important to do without getting as much public input as we can. So I foresee that nothing will be happening for later. There'll be a lot of things happening, but it won't be up for a vote for at least a week and a half. So I hope that helps people with their scheduling, at least. But please continue, Representative Hawker.
I guess I'll just put a closing capstone, and I know you'll want to get to, you know, the testimony and hearing from both sides of the members of our communities who have a stake in this bill. We have the, again, called the health and social services community and the law enforcement community, who are aligned, who believe that, again, this board's activity should primarily be cops, courts, and cages, catching the bad guys, breaking their necks. We're going to hear from an industry who would like you to believe that their industry is not being well regulated, well served by this board existing in the Department of Public Safety, that industry believes that it has become overly zealous in its sole pursuit of their industry, I'll use the word, persecution of a legal industry. Because that's the mentality you get when you work in the Department of Public Safety. And I think I'm well known in this building as a go-to guy for law enforcement issues. I, in this case, also firmly believe that it's been proven to my satisfaction that we have seen an overzealous approach to this industry, with the board being domiciled in the Department of Public Safety. You'll hear testimony that the regulated community often fears to raise a question with the board that should be regulating it, where they should be able to go to the board for information and guidance on navigating the rocks and shoals of the state's alcohol regulations. Instead, many of the members of the industry feel that if they ask the question, because this agency views itself as a extension of the Department of Public Safety, that's like walking into the state troopers and saying, oh, hi, I'm the guy that just robbed the bank. And, you know, they're not provided guidance, counsel, education, and assistance. They are immediately arrested, thrown in jail, and prosecuted. And we've created this tension. I think it is absolutely merits a full public vetting, full public hearing in front of the legislature, hearing both sides of, again, our community, the folks that legally operate, the good guys in the alcohol and beverage industry, as well as the folks who are concerned about the bad guys in the industry. So, Mr. Chairman, at this point in time, I'd be either happy to respond to questions, or might suggest it to open up the floor to the folks that are really waiting to testify and share their position, heartfelt positions with you from both sides of the issue.
Anybody have any quick questions for Representative Hawker? Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try and ask what I think is a fairly fundamental question to this. By shifting the responsibility for this particular department, I'm assuming that none of the laws that govern the behavior are included in being up for discussion or change. We're simply moving the jurisdiction. Who does the ABC report to?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, you are very much correct, and I maybe perhaps cast a different choice of a word, but we're moving the domicile, we're moving the home of the board from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Commerce. And in my mind, the question is, what is the primary purpose of the board? How is the industry best managed? And that is, as a arm of the Department of Public Safety or as part of our Division of Commerce, which regulates all other industry in the state? Yes, sir. That is all this bill does. And if you look at the text of the bill, it just changes the words public safety to Department of Commerce about six places in statute. No changes whatsoever in the board's responsibilities for pursuing the bad guys, weeding the bad guys out. No change in the state's laws regulating the sale or consumption of alcohol in any way, shape, or form.
And just a follow-up comment is that in reading the actual language of the bill, you're correct. It's incredibly short and incredibly simple. And as you pointed out, I have received numerous calls and emails that said very passionately advocating one side or the other, so I think it's pretty obvious that the folks that are going to testify are going to teach us something that I don't see yet.
Through the chair, Representative Miller, welcome to the legislature, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Hawker, just a quick question. You said it just changes the domicile. For purposes of administration, would there be a new division inside Commerce? Would it be just a dotted line on the org chart? What would be the structure of the ABC board inside Commerce?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that would be as essentially taking the same function, the same people, the same state activities, and instead of reporting and being managed in the state's budget and then from an administrative support standpoint by the Department of Public Safety, be supported by the Department of Commerce. So it's really kind of taking the whole package, picking it up and moving it, and be setting it side by side with all the other boards and commissions that are administrated over at the Department of Commerce. For more specific information, if you really want to know exactly how the org chart would work, the dotted lines and the fixed lines, I would say those would be better addressed to the Department of Commerce.
What about the physical? Would there be any change in the physical location offices? I understand they're at Tudor Road right now. Would there be any change as to where they hang their hats and do their work?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I think there's some, at this point, disagreement on what might be involved in those issues. But again, it will be fleshed out as the bill is discussed before you. And likewise, I mean, I'll state straight up, I'm not at all comfortable with, you know, having been the former co-chair of the House Finance Committee, these fiscal notes wouldn't last long in front of me if I was chairing that committee. They need a great deal of review and improvement.
And I don't know if you want to pursue that line of questioning now, or?
You can always sit here.
Okay, great. Actually, I did look through, and I thought that if the ABC is going to change from DPS to Commerce, that there would be an associated decrease, decrement in DPSs, but I'm looking through briefly, so there's some increases. You're not the fair person to ask to explain that, but your thoughts on the issue.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that would have been one of my first questions as the co-chair of finance. Yes, and again, something that, and through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm also rather disappointed in that this bill has been introduced since the beginning of the legislative session. The state agencies had not come forward with fiscal notes until very recently, and in fact, I only had some of the affected state agencies appearing or attempting to reach me in my office 30 minutes before this meeting while I was attending another committee meeting. So the fiscal note issue is something that is of concern to me.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Falker, for bringing this forward. Is there anything in this legislation that would keep the Department of Public Safety or any police department from enforcing the laws of minors with consumption, of going in and doing the stings or anything that they currently do? Is there anything in this that would prohibit the Department of Public Safety from continuing enforcing the laws in the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, absolutely not. And our subcommittee report from the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee was very clear to that point, that there is no reduction in the enforcement responsibilities of the board, nor that of the Department of Public Safety to support the board in those activities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Thanks again, Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pleasure to be before you again this year.
Shirley Gifford. I feel like I have to declare a conflict of interest. I've the pleasure of knowing Shirley and having her for my police chief for a number of years, and it's a pleasure to have you back for the committee, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Representative Olson, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk with members of House Labor and Commerce. My name is Shirley Gifford. I'm the director for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. Prior to being the director, I sat for 3.5 years as a member of the board. And during that time, I had my own business, a consulting and training business, where I had an opportunity to meet Representative Thompson. So I do have an appreciation of the importance of being able to succeed in your own business. Prior to that time, I did serve as the police chief in Soldotna. And prior to that, I served 20 years with the Anchorage Police Department and retired as captain from APD. In 2000, do you want me to just talk? Okay. I can just talk. In 2003, the agency was moved from the Department of Revenue over to the Department of Public Safety, and the reason for that move was so that an agency that was better able to deal with alcohol-related issues would be the one to oversee the agency. I felt then that was a good move, although I wasn't involved at that time. I felt like that was a good move, and I believe it continues to be a good move today. I am in opposition of this bill. Agencies that I work with, I've been on the advisory board for the SPFSIG, the Strategic Prevention Framework State Incentive Grant, the plan to reduce and prevent underage drinking, and then an additional group, the Alaska Strategic Highway Planning Group, also have as their priority concerns underage drinking. And it is a problem in our state. It's been a problem for a very long time. It's a very costly problem. The 2005 figure for cost of underage drinking was $315.5 million, and so the cost to the state is huge. I believe in our compliance check program. I don't believe that our agency is as broken as what has been portrayed by the good Representative Hawker. I think that he is probably hearing from a faction of people who do feel that way. You know, I do believe that is true, that there are some out there who do feel like we've been too hard on them. I think we have made tremendous improvements in our compliance check program. We have met the requirements of the legislative audit. The two major things were policies and procedures, which were written, and then the enforcement strategic plan, which is about a three-inch, three-ring binder. And we do have measurable goals that we have set up, and we are perfectly on track with those goals. I believe that this move would be very costly and disruptive. I think, you know, I heard or read where Senator Coghill thought that there would be a lag time in efficiency. I absolutely believe that there would be a lag time in efficiency. And it would take a lot of effort to get our office moved from where we are right now to wherever we might be. We talked about the fiscal note a little bit, and maybe we want to get into that a little bit later, but I will have some support. Some of the changes that were made, you mentioned the policies and procedures, the enforcement plan, and then in updating and improving the compliance check program, last year Representative Ramirez had asked for me to write up the compliance check policies and procedures, which I did, and shared those with his committee. I didn't receive any feedback on that, neither good nor bad, and so I took it as good. And some of the changes that we made were at the suggestion of the of CHAR. Dale Fox, their president and CEO, had requested that we do random selection checks as opposed to the investigator getting in his car, going out, and doing a check here or doing a check there. I mean, we had a plan set in place, and we have random selection process where the program automatically brings up 35 different licensees in the area in which he's going, and it's the major cities. I mean, when he goes to Nome or some of the other smaller communities, you don't have 35 checks to pull out. So if we're going through the expense of sending him to the smaller communities, he'll try to do as many checks as he can. But in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, he pulls up a number of licensees, and then those are the checks that he does. Once that licensed establishment is checked, they're pulled out for the year, and go into the pot again for next year. But they're done. The other thing we quit doing was counting the second check. If somebody failed their compliance check, we would be inclined to go back just to make sure that they're on track and not selling to underage persons, but we wouldn't include that in the check. It would be a secondary check. The other things we're not including are duplicate licenses. Some licensees have a number of different licenses. Chilkoot Charlie's has six different licenses. Well, it's just one building. And so now, instead of, you know, going back, Mike Gordon felt like he was being picked on because he had three checks within 45 days, and that didn't seem right, and it wasn't in sync with what we were saying, that if you get checked this year, you're done. And so now we've pulled out the duplicate licenses, and he will get checked one time per year. If that, in 2010, we did 46% of the licensees. So we're not going in and doing compliance checks on every single licensee every year. It might be with the random selection in the major cities, they might not get checked again. Maybe they're not checked this year. They might not get checked next year. So we tried to, you know, institute a fair and objective way of checking the licensees. Pulled out the common carriers. We weren't doing checks on that. And what this does when we pull those out where we don't actually do the compliance check, it lowers the percentage of checks that we would be our goal, where we would meet our goal on those percentages. We try to do compliance checks on 75% of the licensees in Anchorage, and then 50% in Fairbanks, 50% in Juneau, and on down the line to where we get to on-road and off-road, where we're checking 25%, because you have fewer licenses, and it's fairly costly to get to those areas. And
Ms. Gifford, if I could interrupt for a minute, we've been joined, I'd like the record to reflect, we've been joined by Representative Seaton. Thanks. Please continue.
Thank you. Thank you. And in talking about going out to these, out to the rural areas, the investigators in Juneau and Fairbanks have been invited to go with the troopers when they fly out to these remote areas on the King Air. Currently, the Juneau investigator is out on the Stimson with the troopers on the Aleutian Chain. That's part of his area that he's responsible for. And some of these areas haven't been checked at all. When the Fairbanks investigator went out on the King Air and visited over probably a dozen different communities in about a 13-hour period, they hadn't ever been, some of those had never been checked. And so when he went in Tanana and McGrath specifically, when he landed there, he assisted the licensees in getting their written order procedure in place. They were making some mistakes there, made sure they had the signs. He didn't write citations. He was there on a training tour, if you will. So as much as we seem to be painted with, if somebody calls us on the phone, we're duty bound to get our citation book or to make arrests. We're not doing that. We talk with licensees every single day and their attorneys, and it's not in an adversarial situation. It's in a helping situation. We have the approach and the philosophy that we're here to assist owners of establishments in operating their business legally and properly, and how do we help you to do that? When we get a call on the phone from a potential applicant asking questions, our approach is how do we make this happen for them, not how do we keep this person from getting a liquor license. That is not our philosophical approach. The other thing that we did recently, or I instituted an assessment method for evaluating our underage buyers. So at the meeting in December 14th, I had about a dozen, I think there were 11 underage buyers that we were currently using, potential buyers, and then just some people, some young people that we threw into the lineup, I guess. And the board of directors, made up of five citizens, two industry members, three public members, they had assessment sheets, and they wrote down how old they thought each person was. And if they appeared to be older, we didn't use them. We had one that we had been using. He was 19. Three of the members thought he was 21. I quit using him. We use him now for shoulder taps, because on shoulder taps, they go up, they tap the person on the shoulder, so to speak, I mean hypothetically, and say, I'm only 19 years old. Can you buy me, you know, a six-pack or 40 ounce or something like that? So we still use him for that, because he's such a good employee, mm-hmm. and he's a hard worker. And, you know, I think for the most part, people do like those shoulder taps. You know, and what we have found from those shoulder taps are those people who are buying for underage persons typically have lengthy criminal histories. And so we're continuing with that. The other thing that I changed in our policies and procedures was, when the investigators go out and do the compliance checks, that they are not also doing inspections. And in the past, they might go out, do the compliance check. If a person passed the compliance check, well, while I'm here, I'll do an inspection. And it had the appearance of, well, if I can't get you on this compliance check, maybe I can get you on improper signage, or maybe the kitchen isn't as clean as it should be, or whatever. And so we stopped doing that. If the investigator sees something that should be corrected, and he gets a hold of the area investigator, and they go back later and assist the licensee in getting things in order. You know, I've I have four investigators and one enforcement unit supervisor for the entire state, and we really rely on local police and state troopers to assist us in the enforcement of Title IV. In Title IV, if a municipality has a police department, all of those license fees go back to the police department, and if there are if there is no enforcement of Title IV, then I can request that the commissioner not refund that money back to the municipality. If I have one situation where it came to me where a police chief in a smaller community was heard saying, we're not going into bars, we're not doing checks, we're not doing over service, we're not doing Title IV enforcement. And I actually flew to that community and we had a conversation, and then he started enforcing Title IV. So it's just some miscommunication, or maybe he was a brand new chief and, you know, not really aware of how important it was for his community that he enforced that. We have excellent communications with police departments and the state troopers. They're able to share information with us, proprietary information, because we are part of the Department of Public Safety, something that they may not be able to do. When we go out to these areas, we fly for free, and that's about a $10,000 bill that I put in there that others within the state, on one of those trips, a Department of Revenue investigator went along, but he also paid for part of the trip. So we wouldn't have that ability to go out without paying. I think that, the president and CEO of CHAR, he and I have had several conversations about how he gets the complaints and I get the accolades, and he's, you know, he's pretty much stipulated to that when people are unsatisfied, that sometimes that takes on a life of its own, and I think that is what is happening here quite a bit, where licensees are unhappy and, you know, people don't like getting tickets. I mean, it's not a happy time. We understand that. I also believe it's our responsibility to hold licensees accountable. We're not chopping off their heads or anything like that. And most of the time, it's a notice of violation, which has no fine. I mean, it's just a notice of violation. And but they don't like it. I understand that. I could probably go on and on, but
actually, I think what we'll do right now is open it up for questions, and then at a later meeting go into the nuts and the bolts and the fiscal note. And
okay.
But who wants first question? Wow. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your service. You mentioned, I'm not sure I heard it correctly, that the cost of underage drinking to the state of Alaska was $315.5 million?
Yes, and I received that. I got that information from the plan to reduce and prevent underage drinking. There are 2005 figures given for...
So that's what it cost in 2005?
Yes.
Is that a success?
I'm sorry, I've been going through the chair. Representative Johnson, through the chair, you're saying that I didn't say it was a success.
No, I think it's a huge cost. But you're about to, or not.
No, I think
that's the question. Is that, no, do you consider cost. That a success?
No, I don't. Not at all. That's a huge cost to the state of Alaska.
And for a point of clarification, that's underage.
That's the cost of underage drinking by problem. And then, Representative Olson, the problem is youth violence, youth traffic crashes, high-risk sex, ages 14 to 20, youth property crime, youth injury, poisonings and psychoses, FAS among mothers age 15 to 20, and then youth alcohol treatment.
Follow up.
Yeah. I don't think that's a success. So what we're doing isn't working.
I would venture to say that if we were to let up what we are doing, that the potential for that getting worse would be worse.
Follow-up?
What in this bill, other than free transportation, which, by the way, isn't free because we're still paying for that through the Department of Transportation, would change just because you lived in a different place? You'd still have the four investigators. You'd still be doing the same checks. Everything would be consistent. So what would change? I mean, you use the term let up. What would in this legislation cause you as a member or a bar owner or anything else to picture this as being let up?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I would hope that it would not be let up. I am concerned that with not having to have the ability to work alongside state troopers and local police, that we wouldn't have as great an opportunity to do that as we do now. We work very closely with Abade. We keep the registration list on those people who are not allowed to import alcohol or be in possession of alcohol. We keep that list, and then Abade, through the state troopers, they're the ones who do the investigation of the bootlegging. So we lose some communications at the very least. And so I think that what we're doing is the right thing, and I hope that it doesn't let up. I don't know what would happen in the future if we're not associated I believe we gain credibility when we're with the Department of Public Safety. I was in a meeting, and one of the things that the legislative auditors brought up was, it wasn't in the report, but I was questioned on, how do you know that Title IV is being enforced? I mean, how can you say that? And they really, you know, were very they wanted to know how I knew that. And I finally wound up saying, because that's what police departments do, and they accepted that. But I'm not sure that would be accepted in the future. And when I went to one of our law enforcement meetings, they were talking about the Alaska crime reporting, where police departments would be reporting to the state on Part 1, Part 2 crimes. And, you know, I raised my hand and I said, can I get in on this committee? And I was invited on that committee because I was part of the Department of Public Safety. So in the future, all of the Title IV crimes will be reported from local police departments to the state of Alaska, so we will have those figures. But that happened because I was there and I was part of DPS, and it was right time, right place. And we would lose that. As much as people would like to say that nothing will change, I absolutely believe things will change.
New question?
No, I'll say it.
Representative Sadler.
Brief question. This is a good opportunity to know more about the enforcement activities. Did you say, Director Gifford, that enforcement checks are randomly selected by a program or something? They happen once a year, and then the licensee knows that they will not be checked again for compliance in the rest of that year? Is that what you said?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, yes, that's correct. Once they're checked for that year, unless we get a complaint on that particular establishment. If somebody calls and says, well, we think there are young people going in there, then we'll go out and do a compliance check again. But once they get once they're in the system and they get they're pulled out of that annual selection, then they don't go back into the computer for that year.
And they probably know that would seem to be, boy, if once they're checked, they're cool for the rest of the year. I don't know how that works.
Yes, they do. Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Gifford, for being here tonight. It is nearly night. I kind of had a hard time understanding why you felt like that your communications would end if you suddenly were moved away from the Department of Public Safety. You know, that they have state laws to enforce. You have those same laws and those same regulations through the ABC board, and you have to work together. And communication is pretty simple anymore with our electronic world. And that and just another – well, go ahead.
Oh. Through the chair, Representative Thompson, that's a very good question. And one of the things that we dealt with over the weekend in trying to come up with a fiscal note is, how do we get beyond the firewall that Department of Public Safety has. Not all systems are, the Department of Public Safety, by its very nature, has to be protective of people's names and background, and there's just some information that they can't share publicly. In the ABC board, of course, everything that we do is public information, so we can pretty much open that up. But the Department of Public Safety can't, and we use APSIN, the Alaska Public Information Network, for all of our complaints, for all of our investigations. All of that goes into APSIN, so transferring that over is an unknown by me.
I can understand that. I have a follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, your close working relationship, I understand where that comes in, especially with APSIN. But at the same time, I have personally observed many of the compliance checks, and I have never seen in the city of Fairbanks ever any police officer, be it state trooper or city policeman, that ever worked or traveled with the compliance officer that was the ABC. Being the prior city mayor, I've never heard of any of them ever having a police officer travel with them either.
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, when I was the chief in Soldotna, we actually, and this was prior to having a full-time investigator come under the ABC board, my department did the compliance checks, and we got the overtime money from the ABC board. The Juneau investigator works closely with the officers here, and they do go out on those compliance checks with him. Two of my investigators are now armed. Prior to them being armed, they had to go with a state trooper or city police, and there were times when state troopers and city police were not available because everybody is stretched thin, all the resources, and people are short. And so because now our investigators were armed, we are going out more on our own. But we do work with police departments. We go to their briefings. We train with them. We train in the police academies. And but I only have four investigators, two.
Representative Sadler, followed by Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Gifford, actually, you mentioned that a question for you. What can you speak a little bit more about the training that your investigators receive, specifically for those that carry weapons? What kind of training or certification do they receive?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, they are bound by operating procedures manual of the Alaska State Troopers, and so they qualify once a year. The ones who are qualified to carry weapons have not been out of police work for longer than 3 years. One investigator here in Juneau came from the Juneau Police Department, directly from Juneau Police Department to the ABC board, and then Investigator Hamilton came from the state troopers over to the ABC board. So they have had to have the same qualifications that an Alaska state trooper has.
Is that a requirement that they be 3 years out of the police department, or just a happy circumstance?
Oh, through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's not a requirement. It just so happened that they what I did was I adopted the Alaska Police Standards Council requirements for a qualification, and if they've been out for longer than 3 years, then they need to go through a 2-week academy. If they've been out for longer than 10 years, they have to go through a full academy.
Does the division provide them weapons? Do they their own firearms, or they issue?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, yes, we provide the weapons.
Okay. So they go through initial training of a couple weeks at the Trooper Academy according to procedures. If they've been a police officer within the last 3 years, that constitutes their certification. If they've been longer than that, 3 years, they have to get annual training, annual recertification, or?
They through the chair, Representative Sadler, they shoot four times a year, qualify one time a year, just like the state troopers do.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ms. Gifford, for your service to the community over all the years, and especially for coming here with us tonight. I'm just curious. I don't expect that you have a positive response to this because I'm going to ask for something impossible probably. Do we have statistics prior to 2003 when the ABC board belonged somewhere else versus the stats since 2003 to see if there is really, you know, a trend one way or the other that shows that this department actually functions better under one jurisdiction rather than another?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, there may be stats available. I don't have those available today. What I found in putting stats together, I've had to do some revamping of those stats. What had happened in the past was the compliance checks were compared to the number of licenses, and they should have been compared to the number of checks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have pretty reliable stats for the past 3 years. We need to go back and fix prior years, but we keep 5 years worth of stats. And I don't have any historical background for the compliance check program. The compliance check program changed a little bit. It used to be the monies that were available went out to local police to do these compliance checks, and they would pay for the overtime. And now the grant money that we received through the enforcement of underage drinking laws goes to pay for a full-time investigator. Through the chair, Representative Miller, I would be happy to do additional research to see if I can find those kinds of figures. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good.
That's why I prefaced it. I didn't expect that those were readily available. Can I ask a follow-up, please? I would like for if you could walk me through the basic whoever your primary enforcers, investigators, inspectors, I don't know which word to use. First off, who are they, where are they based, and how do they actually conduct one of these checks? And let us preface that it's been because you've had a call. You've had an actual complaint, and you're going to send one of your people to take a look.
Through the chair, Representative Miller, if we receive a complaint where somebody, and believe it or not, a lot of our complaints come from other licensees. Licensees are great watchdogs of themselves. You know, if they feel like if they have to toe the line, then everybody else should toe the line too, and it's a pretty competitive field. If we get a complaint, what we do is we get our underage buyers who are on contract. We get them lined up to go out for the night, and we send them in, and they try to buy alcohol with their own ID. We don't give them fake IDs. We don't doctor the IDs. We don't try to dress them up to look older than what they are or anything like that. It's not a trick. It's a check. We want to make sure that they're not selling to an underage person. So we go out. If they purchase, then the underage buyer comes out of the establishment. The investigator goes in and writes the citation, gives a summons. And if they don't purchase, then this is another thing that we've just incorporated recently. If they don't sell to the underage person, we have little cards of congratulations, and our underage buyers really like these cards because then, you know, they don't leave the establishment, you know, with their heads hanging like they had done something really wrong. They get to go back and they're right there. They're at the counter, and they don't sell. They pull out that card and say, "Congratulations, you know, you passed your compliance check," and so that's how that would go.
And let us preface, follow up. Yeah, let's preface that they do in fact sell to this underage person. Your inspection team then.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Miller. If they do sell, then the investigators would go in and take their identification, identify them, write the citation, call the, you know, if they're the only ones there at the time, they call the manager and. The manager would come out and do whatever they have to do. Mm-hmm. We don't dictate what the managers do with their employee. Some let them go immediately.
One last one.
More.
If we're dealing in a large establishment, I can name one, wherein I'm assuming that people would need to be carded or checked at the door. Does that generally happen? And then, of course, once they're past the door, what happens at the bar? I'm assuming the bartender is encumbered by current law that he should do a double check, that he should be checking for IDs again.
Well, through the chair, Representative Miller, if they have a system set up like that, if an establishment is checking licenses at the door, then the bartender doesn't have to check, but if the bartender thinks this person is underage, then they should check.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to the establishment how they would identify that person.
Thank you.
Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify, was your testimony that if you were under commerce and community economic development, that you wouldn't be able to have access through to the Department of Public Safety computer system? I mean, is it that there would have to be some technical arrangement that could be made? And do they do that with other agencies?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I am not aware that they do that with other agencies. My inclination is to say they do not. But I'm not positive on how they would work that.
Yeah, and for another hearing when this comes, would you find out that information for us so that know if that happens with other agencies, and if you were just housed in commerce, whether there could be an arrangement similar.
Through the chair, yes, Representative Seaton, I will do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions for Ms. Gifford? Thanks again.
Okay.
We have a number of people online, and I think what I'm going to do, we also have one member of the ABC board, and I think we're going to give her an opportunity to talk for maybe 5 minutes. Ellen Ganley, are you with us? Ellen Ganley?
Is she on mute? Hello.
Hello. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. And we've got a number of people online and in the audience to testify, and I request that you hold it to 5 minutes, please.
My name is Ellen Ganley. I live in Fairbanks, and I'm a public member of the ABC board and the vice chair. I've been a member of the ABC board for more than 10 years, over actually three administrations, and I was originally appointed because of my public health background. I'm speaking in opposition to help HB 125. I don't believe the transfer of the ABC board to the Division of Commerce and Economic Development would be a good thing. Department of Public Safety has been a good fit for the ABC board. When I first started serving, the board was housed in the Department of Revenue, and there were a number of problems with that, and the board was moved to the Department of Public Safety, it really seemed to be a much better fit for what the board is required to do, above and beyond the basic licensing responsibilities we have. ABC board relies heavily on local police and state troopers for enforcement of liquor laws, and being in the same department has led to really positive interaction, I think, between the board and the rest of, actually, the Department of Public Safety. We've had, just in the last meeting, I believe it was, we had the new commissioner of the department as well as the new head of the troopers come and talk to us about common issues that we have. Really, and above and beyond that, the cost of the transfer in terms of time and money, especially staff time, really will be a loss of focus from what the role of the ABC board should be. And I wanted to just address compliance checks if I could. You know, 95, well, actually probably more like 98 or 99% of licensees are good licensees and run good businesses. And I know that the industry is not happy with the compliance checks and that this unhappiness probably has a great deal to do with HB 125. But the reality is that alcohol abuse is Alaska's most pressing health and public safety issue. And early on, you know, with the compliance checks, I know we don't have the hard data, and I know Shirley's working on it, but the failure rate for compliance checks early on was very high, in some communities up to 50%. And 50%, I think, was actually a failure rate earlier on in Fairbanks. And that meant that a lot of underage people were being served in licensed premises. And it wasn't being done maliciously or for business reasons. It was just a lack of attention to checking licenses and for proof of age. And in recent years, we've seen that the rate of passing compliance checks increase. And, you know, really the bottom line on that, what that means is that people under 21 are just finding it more difficult to buy alcohol in licensed premises, and that's a good thing. And, in fact, that's really, you know, beyond being good public safety policy, good alcohol control policy, it's good public health policy, too. One of the cornerstones of public health is surveillance and control of disease and water quality, air quality, and things like that. And one thing we've learned over time is that once you stop doing that, after things have gotten better and you stop doing that, that eventually they'll find their way back to where we were when we started. And I would really hate to see that happen. I think that's probably all I have.
Any questions for Ms. Canley? Thank you again for spending your afternoon with us and being patient, and thank you for your service. You've been on a long time. I think we could probably draw on your experience later on in the process if you're going to be available or if we have a way to get a hold of you. Next up, I'm working from the top of the list, so this is going to look suspect, but John Lucking. Are you with us, John? Please state your name and affiliation.
Sure. My name is John Lucking, and I'm the police chief for the city of Soldotna, and representing my own self in that interest. But as well, I'm the president of the state chapter of Alaska Police Officers Association, an organization of law enforcement officers, corrections officers, and probation officers in excess of 1,000 that are from all around the state. And in relation to that group, we have three charges, essentially. One is furthering fraternization amongst our own coworkers. Another is training. And in this instance, you know, I'm here to speak about some legislation. We have a committee that's devoted to tracking and influencing and making law enforcement heard in issues that affect our performance and ability to operate. So in that capacity, our subcommittee at APOA has met. We have established a position adamantly in opposition to the move of the ABC board under House Bill 125. We feel that moving the board would break the current continuity of enforcement, and it would challenge the relationship between the board and other law enforcement agencies. Chief for 12 years in the state of Alaska and an officer for well over 26. I've seen the department or the board operate both under the Department of Revenue as well as under public safety. And I have to say they've gained great credibility in the eyes of law enforcement having been under public safety. There's a mutual trust that's been developed. They participated in law enforcement training. Many of the employees come from law enforcement, and relationships are already established. We do partner I can say us as an agency, the Soldotna Police Department, does partner with investigators from the ABC board, and when they do come to town, and we know that they're going to be doing some shoulder taps or have other interests, we work with them hand in hand. As a matter of fact, I take a fellow off of shift, put him in plain clothes, and let him operate independently alongside with ABC investigators. That's to the level of trust we've developed in relationship under Chief Gifford or Director Gifford, as well as Commissioner Masters with Department of Public Safety. And I do believe that there is an increased availability of tools and time and assistance to the ABC board while they operate under DPS. And that may not be so in state when you're talking about flights or helicopters or what have you, but it's absolutely so when it comes to the resources that I have available in my immediate area, as well as time and attention from officers and assistants long distance over the phone or via the computer or any which way. And that's a two-way street, too. I mean, we invite the ABC board investigators to participate in our training because we have a common function and a common understanding, and vice versa. ABC board investigators have been tapped to instruct and advise law enforcement in Alaska not only about what the laws under Title IV are, but what the board's attitude is at enforcing those laws. And I have to say that my observation is that voluntary compliance is much preferred issue and really the objective of the agency, and not simply catching someone in the act of doing something wrong. As well, I think that the ABC board will continue to enjoy a positive reputation under public safety that will enhance the recruitment of qualified people coming to work there with a good attitude, up morale, and further, again, develop the professionalism of the department. They're a prideful group, and they're competent, and we're happy with them. And finally, I guess in closing, short of time, but having lots more to say, really, the board and their enforcement actions should really have little effect on legitimate operators. And so perhaps it's those that are the vocal minority who have had issues. What the board does through enforcement does bring accountability to violators, and it's a deterrent to potential violators that contemplated maybe acts they shouldn't. So this is an opportunity to address issues before there are problems, and I can tell you and show you logs and give you all kinds of numbers about how much police time in my community is invested because of alcohol. And with that, sir, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but I believe you do most, if not all, the compliance checks in Soldotna, don't you?
Currently, we partner with the ABC board to do the checks. So we're both here at the same time doing them. I did exist when we had grants in the past to do them ourselves, and especially when I was the chief of the city of Unalaska, we did those independently, and we much prefer the situation as it exists now.
Would you like to state on the record that you're on a first-name basis with the entire crew of the cast of The Deadliest Catch?
I've been on the barroom floor with a few of them. That's true, sir.
Thanks again, Chief. Any questions for Chief Lucking? Thanks again, John.
You bet.
Next up, Colonel Mallard.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to speak from more my previous position as the commander of the ABAID unit, the Alaska Bureau of Alcohol and Drug Enforcement, and the importance of that, our relationship with the ABC board and specifically their investigators and the list that Director Gifford had already talked about. And in my previous experience, we enjoyed the relationship. We counted on the relationship to enforce the bootlegging regulations in Western Alaska, and available to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Thanks again, Colonel Mallard, and I'm glad that wasn't my phone that just went off. But, my staff just asked me if there's a method to my madness, and what I was doing was working down the list that has mostly people in the law enforcement community on it, so next week we can have longer for the entire public to have more than two or three minutes. And with the short amount of time, I figured it was prudent to give everybody as much time as possible. And I probably have 30 people that have been offline that I would have had to limit to a couple of minutes that are going to need a lot longer than that, that are going to get their opportunity at the next two or three meetings. And I apologize in advance for the people that have been waiting that we're not going to be able to get to between now and 5, but I think it'll be more than made up for next week when we're going to have much more time to devote to the entire public testimony, the other side of the issue. And with that, we'll move down to Brad Johnson. Are you with us, Brad?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Brad Johnson. I'm the Deputy Chief of the Fairbanks Police Department. I'm also a member of the Executive Board and represent the Alaska Association of Chiefs of Police. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to state our position before the committee and say hello to the committee, including the two members present from my own Interior delegation. The Alaska Association of Chiefs of Police, or ACOP, represents nearly every local, state, and federal law enforcement and corrections agency in Alaska. And I will add that you probably have received an advance copy of much of what I'm about to say, and I'll try not to repeat what others have said before me as much as I can. Our Board of Directors has reviewed House Bill 125's potential impact on public safety. Our membership is in opposition to moving the Alcohol Beverage Control Board from under the Department of Public Safety and placing them under the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. We request that you oppose this legislation and stop it from further consideration within the House of Representatives. ACOP feels this proposal is driven by the alcohol industry, which seeks to lessen the impact of effective law enforcement on their activities. In our communities, we work closely with members of the alcohol service industry and appreciate that the majority of them make every effort to comply with regulation and law. Unfortunately, a few have been less conscientious in these efforts and as a result have been subject to legal action in the past. We suspect that this latter group is largely behind this effort to weaken the enforcement activities of the ABC board by moving it to an administrative division of the state government. Collectively, our organizations oppose this legislation for the following reasons, and I won't state all of them that are in your advance copy for the record. I'll just highlight a number of them. Alcohol is a major public safety issue contributing to the majority of crimes, including domestic violence. The ABC board has inherent law enforcement responsibilities that could not be readily accomplished outside the law enforcement arena within an administrative division of state government. Public safety officers and executives recognize the significant contribution the ABC board makes to the effort of reducing and preventing underage drinking when alcohol continues to be purchased directly from licensed premises by underage persons. Of all alcohol beverage control agencies across the nation, the majority are either under public safety or independent departments or commissions. Municipalities must enforce Title IV laws in order to obtain the refunds of license fees in their municipalities, and we do. The ABC board, as part of DPS, is actively participating in a joint effort to improve local law enforcement's ability to report their enforcement activity and document their efforts. The ABC board relies on local police and state troopers in the enforcement of Title IV and 13 AAC regulations. With only 4 investigators to handle all inspections, compliance checks, shoulder taps, and investigations that arise out of violations, the ABC board depends on other law enforcement agencies for enforcement. Although one could say this should not change, it would. The structure has provided for good communications and recognition that the ABC board is an important part of public safety. The credibility of the ABC board investigators comes with being employees of the Department of Public Safety. For the safety of our communities and the continued uninterrupted collaboration between the Alaska Alcohol Beverage Control Board and our respective law enforcement agencies, we would appreciate your support in assuring this bill does not pass. Thank you for your consideration.
Well, thank you very much. Any questions? Thanks again. I think we're going to have to get several people with a different perspective. Dale Fox, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you again for participating and waiting this long.
Not a problem, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very very much. My name is, for the record, my name is Dale Fox, and I'm President and CEO of Alaska Char. I'd like to thank the committee for hearing HB 125, and I'd also like to thank the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, who heard many hours of testimony this summer from the industry, the ABC Board, public safety, and many members of the public. As you know from Mr. Hawker's statement, they concluded that a move to commerce was a smart move for the state. I'd like to address two issues that some of our opponents have raised. First, how do we address licensees as it relates to underage drinking? And two, will this move impact enforcement? On the issue of underage drinking, the challenge for both the industry and the ABC is how do we educate and communicate with over 20,000 employees in our industry. Education combined with enforcement is, we believe, the answer. A few educational activities that have been developed by the industry that work include alcohol server training for everyone involved in service sale of alcohol. We're one of only six states that has 100% alcohol server training. Born-on calendars and born-on stickers to help people do the math, ID flip cards, point-of-sale materials in multiple languages, all work. And what are the results? A survey conducted by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration showed that Alaska retailers as the best in the nation at refusing underage service to underage minors, the best in the nation. And yes, we have an underage drinking problem, but not from retailers. Very small. Even though we are already the best in the nation, the industry is interested in working with the state to make us even better. We see new opportunities to help licensees and their employees be better with tools and education. The ABC and the state troopers are interested in ticketing people and citing people. They are not interested and have not shown any interest in the efforts to educate and communicate. CHAR has approached the ABC with many educational ideas, but there's been no response. The industry believes that the Department of Commerce would provide additional business-friendly educational tools to help the 20,000 industry members do an even better job. A few examples that they might consider. Consider doing seminars to help licensees understand the very complex Title IV. Develop multilingual tools to help thousands of industry employees where English is the second language, including many licensees. Work with us on distributing the existing tools that we know work, like the born-on calendars, and work with the industry to identify new tools and areas where licensees and their employees need assistance. Alaskan retailers are the best in the nation for refusing service to minors, but we want to do better, and that the most effective way to do that is through education. By working together with the Department of Commerce, we believe we can make a good industry even better. Now let me switch gears and address the issue of enforcement. For over 40 years, the ABC Board was administered by the Department of Revenue. And throughout those years, there was significant cooperation with local police, with the ABC, and state troopers in enforcing Title IV. This move would not impact enforcement in any significant way. Legislative Budget and Audit considered that issue in depth. And they concluded, and I'll quote from Mr. Hawker's sponsor statement, HB 125 does not restrict or change the enforcement responsibilities of the board or the Department of Public Safety. Additionally, if we just look at the ground, ABC has two former police chiefs and a former state trooper in their top three positions. It's not even conceivable that enforcement will be diminished under this administration. Further, the grants for compliance checks do not allow ABC to spend the money for other projects, so stings will continue at a robust rate. In conclusion, for over 40 years, the ABC was not administered by the state troopers. the sky will not fall, and enforcement will continue as it has for many years. The ABC and the Department of Public Safety has not been open to education and training, which is really critical if you want to communicate with 20,000 employees. We believe the Department of Commerce, who specializes in helping businesses, will be more open to education and training ideas, which is why we endorse this move. Open for any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Fox? Thanks again, Dale.
Thank you.
Gary Superman, are you with us, Gary?
He's turning me up here. Thank you very much, Gary Superman, Hunger Hut Bar, Motel, and Liquor Store in Nikiski. I'm going to follow up a little bit on Dale there. I've got a heck of a lot to say here. I'll try to, call out maybe something that's important here, because there's plenty of folks around the state who want to address the problem at hand. First of all, I'd like to thank Mike Hawker for his eloquent overview of the introduction of why we are dealing with this issue today. Let me say on a personal note that I feel, and I'm not speaking for those in the association, I feel as an owner that I actually resent the idea somehow that we are a criminal element. I had an episode of my establishment a couple of weeks ago, I think, that underscores and represents a different mood, a different model that we're having to operate under today with ABC under the Department of Public Safety. Trooper comes into our establishment. It was about midnight. I had about three clients in there, three patrons in there. One was a cab driver. Came in and alerted my bartender, and it was a little bit before midnight, so she was getting ready to close up, alerted the bartender that we were being watched, okay, and that she would be liable for anything that happens there and that she would be arrested. First of all, this was right out of the blue. There was no reason to come in. Nobody had contacted me about a problem that had occurred at my establishment. And to me, it underscores kind of the harassment element that a lot of us folks are having to deal with today. And I resent it. I am not against enforcement. I think a lot of the arguments that have been put forward here by some of the law enforcement community are specious at best. If the committee looks at the net effect of this legislation, you're going to see that it's not going to have any effect on enforcement. And I'm not against enforcement. Let me say this, that most of the owners that I know, myself included, are active in our communities. I just got done serving 12 years on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. As a matter of fact, about 5 years ago, I floated a ballot proposition down here for the initiation of a sheriff's department. So I'm categorically not against law enforcement, but I think that's what's happened here between DPS and ABC is that we've grown some kind of unhealthy symbiotic relationship between the two organizations, and it's been brought up that there's plenty of law enforcement on ABC right now, that the responsibilities can certainly and will be carried out in the same manner they were for 40 years under the Department of Revenue. So I think, I've got a lot more to say here, but I would like to have a fair hearing of this throughout the session. We don't need harassment. And regardless of what's being portrayed here, that it's working very well under the current situation, it's not. We need help. Our businesses, I know mine out north, we're in the oil patch here in the North Peninsula, Cook Inlet. Business is down considerably, and there's a number of reasons for that, economic and socially too. Attitudes have changed dramatically towards alcohol, towards drinking. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but there are ways that we can, some of us will have to have the help in the future in a different direction in order to survive. As Dale said, there's 20,000 of us in the industry. That's a big component. And the alcohol industry, always portrayed as the bad guy, continues to give up a significant amount of dollars to the state budget every year. So thank you very much, and I hope that we can get a fair hearing on this year.
Thanks again, Gary, and I think we'll have at least two hearings on it next week if I schedule twice. Yeah, there'll be at least two more hearings on it, probably more. But thanks again, and I think we've got time for one more. How about Carmen Lund, Kodiak? Are you with us, Carmen?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Carmen Lundy, and I am the director for Kodiak Char, and I'm representing 26 licenses, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak. I've been in the hospitality industry for more than 40 years, starting as a waitress, then a bartender, on to management, then bar owner, and have successfully worked with the ABC board, the police department, and state troopers. Excuse me. However, since the ABC board was moved to public safety, we don't feel we have had that successful working relationship. I've seen the ABC board administered under various departments, the Department of Revenue and Department of Public Safety, and I feel that this ABC board operates better under an agency whose primary goal is not issuing citations and arrests, but rather works with us to help reduce problems like drunk driving, underage drinking, and other issues that we all would like to see solved. Moving the ABC board under the control of the Department of Commerce would create a better atmosphere all around. The majority of interaction between the ABC board is an administrative interaction. It involves licensee renewals, questions about regulations and laws, and we feel state government should administer their departments in an efficient way, and the police and state troopers would still be called on to enforce statutes in licensed premises. We feel the way things are set up now could be more economically managed. We are hardworking, tax-paying businessmen and women, not criminals, and feel the ABC board belongs under the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And there's just one more thing I'd like to add after hearing the last speaker. We had a sting in Kodiak 2 weeks ago, and while I'm not excusing the girl that was cited, because it happened. She looked at the ID twice, and she still read it wrong. So this is no excuse for her. What I would like to say is what happened the next morning. The man who cited her came into the bar the next day and went up to her and said, we are going to slam this place, and we're going to hang you out to dry. This is so uncalled for, and this is not the first time this has happened in Kodiak. So thank you for your consideration and time.
Well, thank you again. Any questions? Well, we might have.
If I could.
Certainly. Representative Johnson.
And who's the, what's the lady's name?
Carmen Lundy.
Carmen, thank you for testifying. We heard one of the police chiefs, I think, part of the, and maybe head of the organization, say that this proposal was brought forth by some of the, for lack of a better term, scofflaws who are trying to skirt the system. You, as a representative of Char and one of the people that's supporting this, do you feel that this is being brought by a few small number of owners, or is this universally something that we'd like to see as Char, or is this just a small group of miscreants?
No, I feel this is pretty much universal. I really do. Just about everybody I talk to has been unhappy with the way things are going. And in Kodiak, for these 26 licenses, I do know that they're all in agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks again, Ms. Lundy. That was about 2 minutes. We're going to hold this over. We'll have the meetings noticed for next week, tomorrow afternoon. We'll be hearing it again at least twice next week and possibly once the following week, and we'll do it till we're We got through all the people that want to testify, and it's my intent to give people longer than we would have if we would have cut back to 2 or 3 minutes today. And I thank everybody that has waited, and was unfortunate that we couldn't take all the testimony today, but I hope that next week it'll work out to where you have longer and you'll be able to say more. And with that, we'll adjourn at 2 minutes to 5:00.